From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, will Alabama be the state that takes on the 46-year-old Roe v. Wade decision of the United States Supreme Court? The legislature there has passed one of the strongest pro-life bills in America, protecting most babies in the womb. It's been a 30-year-long project of Eric Johnston, an attorney and the founder of Alabama Pro-Life Coalition. He'll join me later. But first, the sanctity of human life remains a priority for many of the Republican members of Congress. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona introduced a bill today that would end the ability to get a tax deduction for an abortion. He joins me with more on his bill and the status of the discharge petition on the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act in just a moment. And in advance of Friday's vote in the House on the so-called Equality Act, about two dozen prominent evangelical leaders have sent a letter to both Republican and Democratic leaders in the House. One of the signers, Dr. Everett Piper, joins me with the why evangelicals are gravely concerned about H.R. 5. And Meg Kilgannon, Education Research Associate for the Family Research Council, joins me with the latest controversy over how PBS is using your tax dollars to indoctrinate and confuse children about human sexuality. That's later here on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. My first guest is introducing a bill today that would end the ability to get a tax deduction for an abortion. Now, I love the name of the bill. It's called Abortion is Not Health Care Act. Strong statement, speaking truth. Of course, not everyone is lining up to support it, but many are. Joining me now to talk about it is Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. He represents the 5th District. He serves as a member of the House Judiciary Committee and the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He's also a member of the House Freedom Caucus and the Values Action Team. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, good to be with you.
All right. Explain your bill that you've introduced today to our listeners.
Yeah, I think most people don't realize that you can claim an abortion as an out-of-pocket medical expense under the IRS code and get a deduction for that. And so what we've done here is we're basically saying that we're going to prohibit that going forward. We're not going to allow deductions, because one way to think of a medical deduction or any kind of deduction for tax purposes is the rest of your taxpayers are kind of subsidizing your break from the normal tax code imposition. So what I would say here is the IRS has been interpreted this to include abortion. We're going to stop that, so we stop taxpayer subsidies of it, but we also take care of it and just recognize that, look, it is not medical care. It is not health care, and so we're putting an end to it.
Now, that, Congressman Biggs, is a pretty big statement. I mean, I know the deduction aspect is significant from a monetary standpoint, but the statement itself is quite significant, because oftentimes abortion is lumped in with health care. I mean, it was a key part of the Obamacare. It was one of the things we fought against. But this draws a line saying, you know, taking a life is not what health care is about.
No, that's exactly right, Tony. And that's part of the problem. That's part of the way we came up with the name for this bill, is because you have this sense by people who are on the other side who are pro-abortion, they want the world to think that that is an integral component to normal health care, and it simply isn't. It's basically snuffing out the life of one person, and I don't know how you can even begin to justify that and to call it as health care. That's the question. Should you call it health care? And the answer, of course, is no. And if we get to the truth and start talking about these things, you know, truth wills out in the end. And this isn't a clever name. What it is, though, is it's a powerful name in the sense that it says exactly what the truth is. It's that abortion is not health care and should not be treated as health care. It shouldn't get the medical care deduction.
So I know, Congressman Biggs, you're a pro-life member of Congress, outspoken on this. You're a solid conservative. But give me kind of the back story here. What brought you to introduce this bill?
Well, as we were looking at legislation that we think needs to go forward to further the pro-life cause, we discovered and were informed that there was a problem with the way the IRS was interpreting the code with regard to out-of-pocket medical deductions. And so we said, all right, let's straighten that up. Let's clear that up, because there isn't anybody on my team that thinks that abortions are medical care. We have constituents that have brought some of this to our attention. They feel the same way. So, you know, we had constituent input as well as staff input, and it's just the way it worked well for us to introduce this legislation anyway.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, my guest, introducing a piece of legislation today. Abortion is not health care. This is actually an issue that we've looked at, worked on, knowing that it was going to take an act of Congress, literally, to change it, because if the administration tried to unilaterally change it in terms of the IRS, in terms of what's deductible, it would be challenged in court. But with the Congress speaking to it, it can deal with this issue and make very clear that abortion should not be considered health care, especially as it applies to taxes. Now, I want to transition, because you, I think it was either yesterday or the day before, went to the House floor seeking unanimous consent on another pro-life piece of legislation. That is the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if you were 30. I don't know how many times we've fought.
I think I was number 42.
So 42 times members of the House, Republican members, have gone to the floor of the House asking for a vote on the Abortion Survivors Protection Act and have been denied. Now, I understand we're up to 200 signatures on the discharge petition. 218 are needed. It appears to me, with what's happening around the country, Congressman Biggs, that momentum is building.
Yeah, you know what? I just was looking that you say that. I was just looking at data today from a recent survey. Most Americans cannot believe, quite frankly, that you can have a baby born alive and then take its life. I mean, this is just really outrageous. I mean, think of this. We're in the 21st century, and we don't have that kind of barbarism in this country. So my colleagues, we've been working this. Jody Heiss working hard on this. Steve King has worked hard on this. Just a whole host of people have worked very hard on trying to get this to the floor. And we are so close. We've got to get 18 more signatures to discharge this.
And folks need to weigh in on this with their member of Congress. That's how it's going to happen, by encouraging their members. I think we now have, I believe we have all the Republicans on. And we've got to pick up some Democrats are going to have to sign on to this. We've got a few. I think we've got about five, maybe less. But we've got to move this forward. And this is, again, I think the time is right when you see what's happening in Alabama, Georgia, and other parts of the country where people are taking a stand for the sanctity of life.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Tony. I mean, and I would say to your listeners who are concerned about this and want to see that bill come to the floor for a vote, particularly if you live in a swing district, one that voted for Donald Trump and had a Republican member of Congress that has now swung to the Democrats, your Democrat representative is going to be very, very concerned and very interested in what you think. I'm not kidding you. And so it is imperative. You're exactly right, Tony. It's imperative that they contact their congressman or congresswoman and let them know that they want that bill brought to the floor.
And the number to call is 202-224-3121 is the switchboard number. And as I said before, if you don't happen to know who your member of Congress is, as long as you know your zip code, they'll connect you with your member of Congress and encourage them to sign on to the discharge petition for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. Congressman, when we see what's happening, again, across the landscape here on the life issue after the governor of New York essentially welcomed infanticide into the American discussion and into our policies, I'm encouraged that Americans are pushing back on this, and we're seeing it in legislature after legislature. We're seeing members of Congress standing in lockstep together, arm in arm, defending the unborn. There's a lot of darkness out there, but the light is shining bright.
Yeah, I am also, Tony, and I'll tell you, I'm really excited about a lot of the younger generation, a lot of millennials, and all the data that I'm seeing. As they become more informed on this issue, they oppose oppose infanticide, which the outrageous statements in New York and in Virginia, outrageous indeed. But they oppose the infanticide, but they also oppose late-term abortions. They're opposing, most Americans oppose abortion after the baby's heartbeat is detected. I mean, these things are happening, and while there is a lot of difficulty in the country today, that is a reason to smile and be happy.
You're absolutely right. Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for stopping by. Before I let you go, give our listeners the bill number for your bill and how they can weigh in and be supportive.
We've not been assigned a bill number yet since we've introduced today, but the bill is called Abortion is Not Healthcare Act. You can go to my website and track it at biggs.house.gov, and that will help you keep track of this bill.
All right. Well, the name's easy enough to remember. We'll encourage people to make that call as well. Andy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Tony. Always good to be with you.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona. You can find a link to his website. Go to tonyperkins.com. Let me remind you, the Baby Hat campaign is ongoing. In fact, we are halfway. I was informed this morning that we had reached the halfway mark. 45,000 baby hats have been collected as a result of individuals that have gone on to the campaign, End Birthday Abortion Campaign, which you can find at tonyperkins.com. And we are on our way to 90,000 of these hats, these little thermal baby hats that we are going to deliver to Nancy Pelosi, sending a very, very clear message that she cannot ignore, that we want to end this right now. No more. No more birthday abortion in America. Go to tonyperkins.com and see how you can be a part of it. All right, coming up next, I'll be joined by the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, Dr. Everett Piper, about his opposition to the Equality Act, which will be voted on in the House this coming Friday. He'll join me talking about an open letter from evangelical Christian leaders to the House leadership. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come right after this.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, the so-called Equality Act, H.R. 5, one of the top priorities for the new Democratic majority in the House, is set for a vote on Friday morning. Now, this is a bill that attacks religious freedom, parental rights. It is so far-reaching. In fact, group of about 24 evangelical leaders, pastors, and other Christian leaders sent a letter this week to the leadership of the House, both Republicans and Democrats, and said in part, quote, not only is H.R. 5 incompatible with God's word and the historic teaching of the church, but the Equality Act is also riddled with threats to religious liberty and the sanctity of human life. For these reasons, we must state that we adamantly oppose this proposed legislation. Joining me now is one of those who signed the letter, and that is Dr. Everett Piper. He is the president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University and a good friend of ours. Dr. Piper, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing well. Speak to the, I mean, there's so many different aspects, but I guess let me just put it out here like this. What to you is the most threatening, the most egregious aspects of the Equality Act?
Anytime that feelings become a pretext to law rather than facts, you're going to have fascism and you're going to lose freedom. One more time. Anytime feelings versus facts are the pretext to law, it always, always, history teaches this lesson, it always digresses to tyranny, to power, to despotism, to fascism. In other words, liberty is in the balance right now. You cannot have law because you have emotions. You have to have self-evident truths as the pretext to law. Otherwise, anytime anybody feels a given way, if they have power politically, they can squash anybody who disagrees with them. And doesn't that sound familiar with the current political debate? If you disagree, you're verboten. If you have different values, you're unwelcome. If you show that you can't tolerate their ideas, they show their intolerance towards you. In other words, it's self-refuting. It's this nonsense because it's all predicated on feelings versus facts as the basis for law.
Yeah, it is clearly troubling when you see really basically a jettisoning of the facts of science. In fact, it would be amusing if it weren't so concerning, but the American Psychological Association put out a statement of support for the Equality Act, and the headline of this ad, this advertisement they put out, says, "Support the Equality Act, support science." I mean, this flies in the face of science.
George Orwell must have written the headline there, because it's so upside down and backwards. Lies become truth, truth becomes lies. And we know that we're told in Isaiah, woe unto him who calls evil good and good evil. In other words, woe unto him who reverses the definitions of the objectivity of words. What we have right now is Christians and anybody who has a moral standard that runs in conflict with the feelings of the current generation, the feelings of those in power, is going to be silenced and shut down. Christian colleges, churches, etc. How will they do it? They'll do it through Title IX. They'll do it through Title IV. They'll do it through accreditation. They will remove all of these benchmarks of quality, and they'll say, you don't agree with us, therefore your ideas must be silenced. This is the exact opposite of equality and intellectual freedom. This is ideological fascism at every turn.
And when you look at how far-reaching the Equality Act is, I mean, it really drives a wedge between parent and child. It rears its head, ugly head, in education. I mean, this affects churches. It's across the board. Almost no one is left unmolested by the reach of H.R. 5. So when you look at what you see happening on college campuses across the country and the battles that you had over through Obamacare, I mean, this would put most of our Christian institutions on the defensive, having to spend time and energy just to teach and live by biblical truth.
Not only would it put us on the defensive, but it would put us in an existential crisis. Here's why. Almost every Christian college in the nation allows you to spend your Pell Grant to pay for tuition. It's your money, it's your rebate, the taxes come back to you, and you can use that money to pay your tuition at an accredited institution. This will result in those institutions that remain biblically faithful, which may only be a handful, but nonetheless, those that remain biblically faithful will not be permitted to allow you to pay your bill with your Pell Grant or your guaranteed student loan. In other words, that financial support, that financial means goes away, and therefore those institutions will have to shut their doors.
I hope people see how far-reaching this legislation will be. Dr. Everett Piper, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
All right, blessings, Tony.
All right, Dr. Everett Piper, Oklahoma Wesleyan University. This what it does is it equates characteristics like skin color, ethnicity, that are immutable characteristics. I mean, you can't change them. That's how you're born. And it equates those to one's, you know, sexual conduct or sexual feelings, as he was saying, feelings with fact, confusing the two. And the ability to declare your gender, one of the big issues we were talking about yesterday, is that of sports and how this is going to affect women's sports, where men who say, look, I want to compete as a woman, will be allowed, not only allowed to, no one can stop them. And parents, as more and more schools begin to aggressively teach this, as we talked about earlier in the week, how the curriculum has been hijacked by advocates of this gender confusion, that parents won't be told about it and won't be able to stop it. Look, this is dangerous. This is a priority for the new Democratic majority. You need to weigh in and stop it. Call your member of Congress, 202-224-2131. 202-224-3121. Better yet, get the Stand Firm app. Go to the App Store and download the Stand Firm app. All right, coming up next, PBS using your tax dollars once again to advance, well, more of the left's agenda. Who's the target? Your children. We talk about it next here on the Family Research Council's Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. We're Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influences weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This is Washington Watch, and I'm Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, some of you may have seen this or heard about it, but a children's cartoon series on PBS, Arthur. One of the actually the longest-running animated series for children in the U.S. It began its 22nd season yesterday with a surprise so-called marriage of Arthur the Aardvark's teacher, Mr. Ratburn, to another man. Now, PBS is always out there, but this is a program that is designed for, you know, children, I think 4 to 8. And it's to prepare them for school. Is this their idea of preparing them for school? Joining me now is Meg Kilgannon, Education Research Associate for the Family Research Council. Meg, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I was stunned yesterday.
Well, Meg, just for those, and I have to put myself in this category, I'm not a PBS watcher. I have to say I've not watched Arthur, but I know a lot of parents have kids who have grown up with. Explain for our listeners kind of what Arthur's purpose is in terms of this cartoon program.
Sure. Well, my kids are, my oldest daughter's now 21. So Arthur went on the air in 1996 or 1997, I believe. And the original book that the series is based on was written in the 70s. Mark Brown, the author of the series, is worth $40 million because the series has been so successful on PBS. But the basic story of Arthur is he's an aardvark who is 8 years old. His sister, D.W., is 4. His sister, Kate, is 1. And they live in a family with a mom and a dad. The mom is an accountant, and the dad is a chef or a baker. And they have a pretty normal, happy, traditional family life. And it's a really, you know, pleasing little show for kids, visually pleasing when you look at it. But I will say that as my children watched the show when they were little, the leftist messaging was there. I mean, there was always environmental undertones in the show. You know, it's just in the 2000s, there was definitely some anti-war messaging going on. Children did protests. There was anti-business messaging. So the show, you know, to the degree that same-sex marriage has just become another plank in the leftist platform, it doesn't really surprise me that they have a gay wedding on the show. It's sort of in keeping with the philosophy of the show to date and in the philosophy of PBS altogether. So one of the things, though, that I found most disturbing, I actually went online and watched the episode just a few minutes ago. The plot line of the show is about the children being concerned when they find out that Mr. Rathburn is getting married, because they think they know who he's going to marry. They see this woman who they think is his fiance, who's very bossy and domineering. She's voiced by the actress Jane Lynch from Glee. She's a very famous lesbian actress. And they're very concerned because she says she's going to toughen Mr. Rathburn up. And so being in third grade, they don't want Mr. Rathburn to toughen up. They don't want to have to work any harder. So they try to stop this wedding. And so when they find out at the ceremony that this is actually Mr. Ratburn's sister, not his fiance, and they see the two men walking down the aisle, it's like a moment of relief, like, oh, thank goodness he's not marrying that mean woman. Thank goodness. No, they never talk the husband, Mr. Ratburn's supposed husband, they don't speak to each other. That is just portrayed as not worthy of comment. It's so normal and, you know, just regular. I was struck by the misogyny of that messaging. Like, oh, thank goodness that he's not going to marry a mean woman. He's going to marry this nice man who runs the candy store that we just bought candy at. It's a very subversive message. Another clue you have that it's going to be a gay marriage, this is a little bit nerdy, but Mr. Rathburn at one point is seen in the teacher's lounge reading a book of love poems by Pablo Neruda, who was a senator for the Chilean Communist Party in the 20s. He's a famous leftist gay poet. So,
They don't miss anything.
They don't. You cannot pretend like they do not have an agenda and that they're not promoting it, because they are. So my question, in addition to, you know, what is the arc of this plot line for preschoolers, is Mr. Rathburn and Patrick, are they going to, you know, adopt a baby next? But when are we going to defund the left?
Right.
Why do we have to pay for this with our tax dollars?
We're up against a break, but I want to ask you another question. Can you stick around through the break?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. I'd be happy to.
Good. So, folks, Meg Kilgannon is going to stick around. She's the Education Research Associate for the Family Research Council. I want to go a little deeper in this because, you know, we're told that we can't have religion in the schools, can't have prayer because children are so impressionable. But yet we see this stuff not only on PBS with tax dollars, but we see this type of material in the curriculum for sex ed, even into kindergarten. So there's a little hypocrisy there on the left. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to visit with the attorney in Alabama on their new pro-life law. Don't go away. Back after this.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. My guest, Meg Kilgannon, Education Research Associate for the Family Research Council, talking about I guess it was a season premiere episode yesterday of Arthur on PBS, the longest-running cartoon series in the USA, 22 years. Meg, I want to go back to this. That final question I had for you is when, you know, you look at this, this is targeted to four-year-olds through eight-year-olds.
Right.
So preparing them for school. These are kids going into kindergarten. Now, you're also working on issues as it pertains to the sex ed curriculum that we see this radical stuff going into schools across America. But just last week we were discussing a school in Pennsylvania where they would open with the Pledge of Allegiance and then the principal would say, God bless America. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation came after them saying you can't do that because that's an endorsement of religion. And the whole reason we can't have prayer in schools is because children are so impressionable that they can somehow be misled or guided down this path of religion. But then we see the same people coming in with this type of material, subtly sending these messages to these impressionable children.
Yes, and in the case of Arthur, they're doing it with a government subsidy, a pretty big one. The Arthur program is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS. It's produced out of Boston. And you're exactly right. The progressive messaging is aimed squarely at our children. Whether it's on TV or in schools, it's right there, and parents need to be very aware of it, and we need to instill our values in our children. I watched one of the reviews of this Arthur episode where it was hailed as so progressive and how great, isn't this special? And one of the hosts of the show said that, you know, really, the kids know that this is all fine. It's the parents who have the problem, and we're the ones who are putting our values on our children and making gay marriage not normal. And that kind of triangulation is very, very dangerous.
Yes.
They are seeking to insert an authority and to become an authority with our children when our children have been given to us by God to form in a very careful way so that they can achieve what they are meant to do in life, because God put them on earth to do something, right, to do something particular that only they can do.
And I hope parents are hearing what you're saying, because that is so important. What they're doing is they are marginalizing the voice of parents, essentially saying they're old fuddy-duddies.
Right.
They don't have a right to speak into this. You're good with this. They're not. Don't listen to them. Listen to us. And
right.
They're indoctrinating our children with their values.
With their values. They are replacing our values with their values, and they are in direct contradiction most of the time, as particularly for anyone listening to this podcast. You know, there is very little echo for our values in the culture. The only noise you hear in the culture, sadly, is usually contradictory to Christian values.
Well, parents must speak up. Meg Kilgannon, thanks so much. Great information. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Meg Kilgannon. This comes down to parents realizing that, as Meg made reference to, you know, God has given those children to us. And with that comes the responsibility and the authority to teach, train them, and educate them. Now, as I've said many times before, as a parent, you can delegate the authority to educate your children. You know, you can do that to television, you can do it to PBS, you can do it to the public schools, but you cannot delegate the responsibility. God will not hold PBS responsible for your children, nor the public schools, but you. And this is where we need some of those mama bears that are willing to stand up and say, not my children. You're not doing this to my children. We need more parents down at the school boards. We need more parents running for the school board. You know, we need parents weighing in with, you know, PBS. You know, as she said, this is produced out of Boston, this Arthur. But the other thing, the president, by the way, in his first budget, zeroed out PBS. But actually, it was the Republicans in Congress that put it back in the budget. So, folks, we're responsible for what happens to our children. And this stuff is coming, and it's coming fast. They're indoctrinating our children. And I use that word intentionally. They are indoctrinating our children. All right, good news out of the state of Alabama. We've talked about this, talked about it at the top of the show. What's happening as a result of Governor Cuomo in New York, Governor Northam in Virginia, you know, pushing the extremes on abortion, you know, opening the door to infanticide in America. Well, what's happened? States have been pushing back. And quite frankly, I'm partial to state legislatures, having served in one. That's where I think you really get some things done, and I think they're more reflective of the people. And so you've had more than 250 pieces of pro-life legislation just this year, one of the biggest, coming out of the Alabama legislature last year. This could set the stage for really a confrontation over Roe v. Wade before the Supreme Court, because it essentially eliminates abortion except on very limited cases. And it's HB 314. Joining me now is one who's been working on this for decades in the state of Alabama. He is the founder of the Alabama Pro-Life Coalition and has played a key role in this piece of legislation, Eric Johnston. Eric, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Eric, first explain what the bill does that has been, it's been sent on to the governor. What does this bill do?
Well, it's a very simple bill. It simply says that abortion is a Class A felony in Alabama. It has legislative findings that say the unborn child is a person entitled to all the protection and laws of Alabama. It has a few definitions in it, but the operative provision just simply says that abortion is a crime.
And this sets the stage, potentially, for a direct showdown with Roe v. Wade, does it not?
It does. Last November, there was a ballot initiative in Alabama, Amendment 2, that said that unborn children are entitled to all the protection of laws. In Alabama, with no exceptions were in there, just a person, an unborn child's a person. We base the statute on that, and in effect what that does is it conflicts with Roe's interpretation of the U.S. Constitution, which, as Justice Thomas has said, Chief Justice Rehnquist used to say, many judges and justices have said through the years, there is no constitutional basis. And we hope that this bill will result in a challenge to Roe. We would rather not do that, but we know it can't go into effect without that challenge. So, it's not entirely proper to say we're looking for a court challenge. That tends to diminish what we're doing. We're looking to protect the lives of unborn children.
Well, I understand. It's never the wrong time to do the right thing, and I have long said that I don't think that we should restrict our legislative actions based upon what the court may or may not say. And so I think in this case you have, quite frankly, an impressive majority of the legislature. It was 74-3 in the Senate, in the House, 25-6 in the Senate, passing this bill. I think it's a veto-proof majority in both chambers. Just saying we're going to protect life, and if the court doesn't like it, well, they're going to have to take it up. So I applaud the Alabama legislature for legislating based not upon what the court may or may not do, but what is right.
Well, yes, and they've done the right thing. We're very indebted to them for taking this issue and working through it and doing it quite quickly.
Now, this has almost 60% of Alabama voters actually support this bill. The governor, Governor Ivey, has she indicated yet what she's going to do with the bill?
No, she has not publicly said. I don't think that there will be any problem. I think she will sign the bill as it is.
Now, some, Eric, have said, look, this is different because this bill does not allow exceptions for rape or incest. How do you respond to that?
Well, you can't draw a distinction between what a person is and what a person is not because of the way they're conceived. If you're conceived through consent, by accident, or you're conceived through rape or incest or artificial insemination, the product is still a person. And so you can't say that this person's protected and that one's not. That would be inconsistent and disingenuous to try to do that. That's what we had to explain to the legislature. The rape and incest exceptions are very emotional ones. And, there was, discussion yesterday about 12-year-old girls having babies. Those are things that really pull at our heartstrings that we really want to deal with. But you don't say, well, abort that baby, that solves the problem. Those are a limited number of cases as well, and those women need assistance of all kinds. But we can't go to court and try to say that Roe was wrong if we try to put exceptions in a bill that says, but some people are not people. It just doesn't make sense.
Very, very good point. The when you look at the opposition and some of the things that they say, one is you made clear that this makes abortion a felony, but I want to point out that the women who seek out the procedure would not be prosecuted under the bill. It's the abortionists that perform the abortions.
That's correct. In all the years and all the legislation we worked on, the Alabama legislature, we've never had a penalty or a criminal provision in there against the woman. We've always felt that the woman needed compassion and help, not to be penalized or hurt further. It's the ones who are profiting from it, the ones who are knowingly doing, this abortion practice that they're engaged in.
Are there any actions that our listeners in Alabama need to be taking right now to ensure this gets across the finish line?
Well, the governor should sign the bill at any time. If anyone, has the ability to communicate with the governor that it's a good bill and she needs to sign it, that probably would not hurt. But once the governor signs it, it then goes into the legal system. It's got a six-month down period that the physicians wanted to put in there, just sort of a time so people could make arrangements. If they were doing abortions, they'd go and begin doing something else. But we fully expect within that time period, that 6 months, that a lawsuit will be filed where it will then begin the progression through the federal court system.
And the Attorney General has stated that he will aggressively defend this legislation, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. And that's another factor, among others, of why we thought this was a good time, is we have an Attorney General that will do a good job. You know, there was a lot of suggestions by legislators on the other side that, well, why are we spending the money on it? Let another state do it. Well, we got a competent Attorney General that we trust will do a good job. I don't know what the other states have, but what kind of a job, you know, their AGs will do. So, you know, we have a competent one. When you know you got a good guy, you need to go with him.
Well, Eric Johnson, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your diligence and consistency and continuing to advocate for the sanctity of human life. It looks like it's about to pay off in Alabama.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Eric Johnson, the founder of Alabama Pro-Life Coalition, who has been working on this for almost 30 years. And by the way, let me give you the phone number for those of you in Alabama that would like to call Governor Ivey in her office and politely urge her to sign this pro-life bill. Now, as Eric indicated, there's nothing to say that she's against it. She's not indicated that. So, you know, just, again, be very polite, but urge her to sign this pro-life piece of legislation. That number is 334-242-7100. That's 334-242-7100. And you can give her a call and give her office a call and just say, hey, would love to see you support to sign into law HB 314, the ban on abortion. And I think this is, again, I'm encouraged by what I see happening across the country. The left, I think they overreached. There was an overreach on their part of opening the door to infanticide in this country, and people are pushing back all the way from Washington all the way down. And we cannot back up. We cannot rest. You know, we've got to continue moving forward, advancing the sanctity of human life. And that's why I applaud this. You know, I may not agree with every piece of legislation, the way it's written, the way it's done, but we're moving forward with the sanctity of human life. And as I said, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And standing for life and ending the Holocaust that's claimed the lives of over 60 million babies in this country. I mean, this is, you know, repentance. You know, people said, you know, is America ever going to come to a point of repentance? Repentance is turning around and doing the opposite. We may be in the midst of that. That's what's happening right now. We may not be using the term repentance, but we're turning from the destruction of human life to embracing it. And that's a good thing. Continue to pray for America. Pray for lawmakers and weigh in with your voice and your actions. Help us get this discharge petition on the Abortion Survivor Protection Act, the Born Alive Bill. Go to TonyPerkins.com and join the End Birthday Abortion campaign. All right. You know what that music means. We're out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, and you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.